Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis.
And I'm Pastor Margaret Michael.
Thanks for tuning in today. And today we're joined by Karen Costi. Karen, how are you doing today?
Very well, thank you.
Karen, just start out telling us about where you're from and about how you grew up.
Well, I am originally from Mount Jackson, Virginia, and I'm currently living there again. I grew up in the country. I'm a country girl. I always say I'm just a poor girl from the mountains. I have an older sister and a younger brother, and they are both still living, and I'm happy to have them. We're a fairly close family. I went to school and graduated from Stonewall Jackson High School, and then I went to college in North Carolina at a Christian college. I had a wonderful childhood. This was not wonderful. My father passed away when I was 10. My sister was 11, and my brother was 5. And he was a wonderful man, and I was extremely close to him. So that was very hard, and it took me a while to get past that. And I will admit I was mad at God at that time, but I got over that. I had good influences in my life, and they helped me to get through that period in my life. But my childhood, I loved growing up where I did. We were in the country, and all the kids came to our house to play in our yard, and we had an orchard behind our house, and we played in the apple trees, and that was all very much fun. Have very, very good memories of my maternal grandmother, and I never really knew her husband, and my father's parents were quite elderly, and they died when I was very young, so I don't have a lot of memories of them, but my maternal grandmother was always a very big influence in my life. She was an extremely poor woman in monetary means, but she was a very rich woman in spirit. I learned frugality from her. I learned how to cook. I have a very strong work ethic, and my grandma had a very strong work ethic. One memory of her that I always enjoy thinking about is, I said she was a very poor lady, but she had a good room, you know, that we never went into. We weren't allowed to be in that good room, and it didn't have heat, so you didn't want to be in there in the wintertime. But she kept her good candy dish in that room, so occasionally we could go in there and get a piece of candy. But whenever anybody came that were down on their luck or needed a little extra money, she could go to that room and find some money, and I never knew where she got it from, because she didn't work. She had really very little income to live on herself, but somehow she always put a little bit of money back, and she could help out when she needed to somebody else. So I learned that from her. So I have a little stash of money at my house too. So when I need to go to it, I can go to it. So that's one thing I like to remember about my grandma.
Wow. What a tradition to carry.
Yeah.
That is wonderful. Yeah. So you say that you might have been mad at God, and I can totally understand that as a child in a loss like that. I can't imagine what that was like, but I can imagine that there would be some questions in a child's mind. So what did faith play like? Were you a part of church growing up? Was that something? I have a feeling this grandmother, was that a part of her life?
It was not really. My grandmother was a spiritual woman, but she did not attend church. But she always had a Bible, and I know that she read it.
Yeah.
And she would talk about God. But, yes, we were always in church.
Okay.
Always. We started out when my father was still alive at a Brethren church, and got away from that. Actually, through the influence of someone that I always attribute my spiritual development to. Mm. She's the one that really got me grounded in God. And she was an adopted aunt. She never had children. And she was just a wonderful lady in the community. And she would pick my sister and brother and me up on Sunday morning and drive us to Sunday school. And then my mother would join us for church. And this lady's name was Aunt Frances. And she just, to me, was the epitome of God's servant. She was good to everybody. She was so kind. She could talk to you about God and why you should love God and let you know that he loved you. So whenever I'm in a group and they say, who was your biggest influence? I always have to say it was my Aunt Frances. She was very instrumental in my faith.
Yeah. You know, I think that is one of the most, one of the most profound things that we get to talk about around this table is how important it is to have people speak into our lives.
Absolutely.
As children, and how often it is that person. You can look back and know exactly who that person is for you. And not everybody has that, but a lot of people do. And just for those listening today, I think my question would be, hey, are you that for someone?
Exactly.
You know, like, we all need to be challenged with that. So thank you for just... a beautiful part of your story. We haven't heard a lot yet, but that already is so impactful, just to realize that God placed someone in your life to mentor you, and you become an adopted niece, but maybe more of a daughter, a spiritual daughter for her, in that place of not having children of her own. So there was a beauty in that. You filled a role and she filled a role.
Absolutely.
Yeah. She
was always very important in our lives.
And that speaks to the importance of family doesn't have to be blood necessarily, and also the importance of mentoring and discipling, which is a two-way street. We can mentor and disciple. We want to do both. We want people to be mentoring us, but we want to also be mentoring other people.
Absolutely. That's very important in life. Very important.
So you graduated from Stonewall?
Yes, I graduated from Stonewall, and then I went to Catawba College with the lifelong desire, lifelong to that point, to be an attorney, because I watched and rewatched every episode of Perry Mason, and I wanted to be Perry Mason.
Matlock.
Perriette Mason, I guess. And after a run-in with a sort of, I would say, egotistical professor, I decided, no, I'm not going to do that. He pretty much told me I couldn't do that. So I took him at his word. Yes, that was a low point in my life, probably. But then I decided to major in history, and I minored in religion. And I was strongly encouraged, several people, to go on to seminary. But I never, at that time, I never felt the call. I never felt that that was what I was supposed to do. So I didn't go to seminary. I got married, and my husband at that time was in the military, and we lived 4 years in Germany and had our daughter while we were there. And while I was there, I was the director of religious education at the base chapel. And that was a very fulfilling position. We had between 200 and 300 kids on a Sunday morning.
Wow.
And we ran a big Bible school in the summer where the base buses would go around out on into the countryside and pick up the kids to come to Bible school. And so that was a really wonderful experience. I thoroughly enjoyed doing that.
Wow. So, and where was that? What base was that?
That was at Hahn Air Base. Rod was in the Air Force.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was good.
So after Germany, where did you live after that?
Well, we came back to the States, and we went to Oklahoma, Altus, Oklahoma. And we weren't there very long until my husband at the time, Rod, decided he wanted to get out of the military on a full-time basis. So he went into the military reserves, and we moved back to Mount Jackson. And his reasoning for this was, and I can understand this, because we had just been home for a month of a vacation between assignments. He said, you and I have such wonderful memories of growing up with our grandparents, and I want that for our daughter. So I think we need to move back home. So we did, and I couldn't really argue with that, because he had a wonderful grandma, too, and just like I did. Yeah. And we loved her very much as well. So we moved back to Mount Jackson, built a little house, and pretty soon he got a job at Merck, and I got a job at R.R. Donnelly, and so we moved to Harrisonburg. So we were only in Mount Jackson at that time for 2 years, and then we moved up here. So, yep. Then I just worked at Donnelly and had a good career there until I didn't want to work anymore, and then I just stopped.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Now, how many children?
I just have one daughter.
Okay.
And three grandchildren.
And those grandchildren are in Georgia?
Georgia. Yes. Yes. Very good. You remember?
Yeah.
Georgia.
Yeah. I remember, I think, in a conversation we had about the church there that, were you in Georgia for a while?
We moved to Georgia. My second husband and I moved to Georgia 4 days before our second grandchild was born. I was actually in the delivery room when Ramsey came. And my daughter and son-in-law named her Ramsey, which was my father's name.
Wow.
Unbeknownst to me, they never discussed the names ahead of time, but in the delivery room, Robbie, my son-in-law, picked her up, looked at her, and looked at me and said, I want you to meet Ramsey Turner Thompson. And you could have knocked me over with a feather. I've really been blown over by that, because that was very special to me. And all my grandchildren they're wonderful kids, and they're very special. But she's just a little bit of something extra there. We've just got this. And she feels it, too. She calls me almost every day. We text throughout the day. I wonder how she's doing that when she's at school. But anyway, that's another story. But, yeah, so that was a good experience. Yeah. And they're great kids. They're really good kids.
Yeah.
But Jim and I did live, my second husband and I did live in Georgia for 9 years. And then Jim, as you all know, had some medical issues. He had dementia. Mm-hmm. And he decided that he would like to move back to the Valley. Not that he was from here, because he was originally from New Jersey, but he wanted to move back to the Valley for his last year. So that we came back.
That.
And we owned a house here, a home that I grew up in. So it was, you know, kind of a no-brainer. We'll just move back. So we did.
Yeah. I just remember you working the front desk and him coming in and sitting and reading and just so pleasant.
Yeah. He was a very, very sweet man. Everybody loved Jim, and I was always so grateful to all the staff and the clergy here, because nobody walked past him that they didn't stop and speak to him and made him feel special.
Right.
And that meant a lot to me.
Yep. I do remember y'all working the front desk together. That was great. It blessed us as much as it blessed you all.
So. I enjoyed doing it, yes.
And also, I can't remember what year this was, but I do remember being that he was on a wheelchair, he had some challenges and stuff, but you came with him, I believe, on our men's retreat so that he could experience that and be a part of that.
I took him 2 years.
He had gone
for years. Even when we lived in Georgia, he would come home and go with some of his
But I remember distinctly one of those or both of those years that you brought him and just that, you know, spoke such a servant's heart for you to, and I'm, you know, it's love too, you know.
Absolutely.
It's also Ocracoke.
That's a great place to.
That's not a bad place to have to go.
Not need a good excuse to want to go there.
That's right. I had to throw that in there. So you talked about growing up as a child in a church. Do you remember? Some people remember when they accepted Christ. Some people just said, I've believed all my, you know, like they don't even remember a moment, which I don't think you have to have a moment. If you love Jesus, you love Jesus. But do you have an experience?
I do. I do have an experience. As I told Grayson when he asked me about doing this, there's never a time in my life when I didn't know Jesus. And I've never had a mountaintop experience, you know, like some people do, and they've got a wonderful testimony. I've never had that. But in 2012, I was attending an Ann Graham Lotz conference with my daughter. I don't know if you remember when she was just doing her Just Give Me Jesus conference as well. This was the second one we had gone to. And I think we were maybe in Charlotte. And during that conference, I can remember I totally surrendered to God. And that was, I think, maybe September 12th or something like that, 2012. So if I had to say my conversion experience, it would have been during that time.
Yeah.
before we started recording today, you talked about how you were good, but you were busy, and you were telling me some of the things you do to keep busy, and I said, those are good things to stay busy doing. Do you want to share a little bit about some of the things?
Sure. I'm very involved in my community, so I do civic things. I'm part of a Rotary Club, which I really enjoy Rotary because it's all about service. You know, everything we do is about service. I lead a prayer group on Tuesdays, and we started this. This coming July will be, it's been going on for 3 years. We meet every Tuesday, unless that's Christmas Day, or last week we didn't meet because of the ice and snow. But other than that, we meet. And if we're not meeting, and even when we are during the week, if we hear of something, we text each other and ask each other to pray. This is a group of people that I knew all of them before the prayer session started. But, I mean, we just love each other. We love each other, and we're so disappointed when someone's not there. I miss a lot because I go to Georgia a lot. But they are just wonderful believers. They're wonderful prayers. We just have a very, very meaningful time every Tuesday afternoon when we get together. So I do that. I'm part of several Bible studies. I'm on a couple of boards of directors for organizations. And I just, yeah, I try to stay busy. I visit people. I have this one lady in the community that needs, she no longer drives, so I take her for things and bake things to take to her and all like that.
You're busier than you were when you worked.
I am. I don't know how. I hear people say, how did I ever work? And I believe that's true.
Yeah.
But I'm blessed because I get to do the things I enjoy doing. Yeah. And right. When they're no longer fun, I don't do them anymore.
Yeah, and I think when you've grown up with this, you grew up where you learned how to work. You learned what it meant for other people to serve you, right. Picking you up, taking you
right.
To church and investing in your life. And what a beautiful full circle, just to see how
absolutely.
You are able to do that. And, you know, that's where, for me, serving is where the gratitude comes from. It's not by having things, but it's about being able to love and serve those around us.
You know, I never really thought about it. I just do the things that I do. But one day, a couple years ago, my daughter and I were talking. I was in Georgia with them. I do go to Georgia a lot with my family. So
she's got grandbabies there, grandkids.
That's
there
you right. Well, go. They're not babies, but yes, they're pretty grown up. But yes, I have to go. And we have a really close connection, so I want to foster that relationship. They might have to take care of me before long, you know. But my daughter and I were talking, and she was listing some of the things that I do. And, I hadn't really thought about it. And she said, Mom, you truly have a servant's heart. And I just thought that was so beautiful for her to say to me, because I had never thought about having a servant's heart. You know, I've read it. I've studied it, but I never thought that that was me. And I really appreciated her saying that to me. And sometimes when I don't want to do something that I know I'm supposed to do, that will come back. But Allie said, you have a servant's heart, so you better go do this, whether you want to or not. So,
yeah. That's beautiful. So you are in Bible studies, a few of them. So what is your favorite book of the Bible to study, and why?
My favorite book of the Bible is probably John. Mm. I love John. Mm. I was telling Grayson earlier, last year in one of our studies, we did Acts, and I thoroughly enjoyed Acts because the lady that leads our Wednesday study really gets into it. She digs and digs and digs. And so it's very interesting. This year we're doing Daniel, and I'm enjoying Daniel. I like them all.
Yeah, yeah,
I like
they're
them
so
all.
Bad
yeah.
ones.
Right. Yeah, but for me to sit down and read, I like to read John.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a good place to start. Yeah.
What about John sticks out to you?
I don't know, Grayson. I just, I guess because I think it's very readable. It's very, I just like it.
get introduced to Jesus.
You do.
Yeah.
He does a really good job.
And he does.
You know, I love, there's so many things in the Gospels, but one that just comes to my mind, like John 14, where we get a really good question. Mm-hmm. You know, Thomas asks the question. Yeah. When Jesus says, you know the way, and he goes, well, you know, I don't, right?
Yeah.
And so just in response, Jesus gives us the answer. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And had that question not been asked, we would have the answers we need.
Right.
But it's a beautiful thing to study the Word of God. It's also a beautiful thing when we can see other people having questions and Jesus answering
them. Exactly. Exactly.
And so just to get the foundation of the scripture that John gives us, the Gospel of Jesus according to John, that is beautiful.
It is beautiful. Yeah. And I truly believe that the more you study whatever book you're studying, Old Testament or New Testament, the more you realize you don't know and the more you want to know.
Right.
I remember when we were in classes for ordination, and Pastor Roger was in our classes. And Pastor Camelot and I were both in there, and we were a little full of ourselves. And I remember one morning we were having this chatty conversation, and Pastor Roger just says, I sure don't know as much as I used to know. Yeah. And that's true.
Right.
You know, and I just remember walking out of a class one day and going, I don't even know what I know anymore. But sometimes we can read it, and then we go back and we read it again, and we see it a different facet of that
exactly.
scripture, and we learn something that's deeper in that
absolutely.
We had never thought of before. And yeah, it's
a lot has to do, I think, too, with where you are, what's going on in your life,
your
right?
Stage
right.
of life.
Reading that, it will take on a deeper meaning sometimes. Mm-hmm. Depending on what you're experiencing otherwise, I think.
And, you know, the Word speaks to us where we are.
Right.
You know, not where we pretend to be, but man, it really will nail us in the moment when we need to. A truth, sometimes it's a conviction, sometimes it's a affirmation. Like,
right.
It speaks, it's alive.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Says it's sharper than a two-edged sword. You know, it works on us. You know, I was talking with somebody recently about a recent sermon series, and we were talking about it's been a hard word, but it's working on us. The word's supposed to work on us and challenge us.
Right.
Also, when you're studying the word with other people, they might get different things out of the same passage. So talking about it, like Pastor Margaret was talking about her and Pastor Camelot and Pastor Roger, they probably saw some things from the scripture that he had never thought of
exactly.
before, or he had forgotten, maybe.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The one study that we do on Saturday mornings, we study a Christian book, and that's a smaller group than my Wednesday group. It's about probably 8, maybe 10 of us sometimes. And each person, we read a chapter a week, and you are to pick out one or two things in the chapter that really spoke to you or that you really question, and then we go around the room and everybody talks about that point that they want to make, and then everybody else can respond or whatever. So there's a lot of conversation, not a lot of actual teaching. And it's so interesting to hear the various comments and know the people and know their background a little bit, and then hear how they interpret what that meant to them. And it's just like you said, you know, it just... different things speak to different people. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that it's so good to have the balance of being in the Word, but also being a servant.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
There has to be that balance of
right.
not just continuing to learn, yeah. but learning to be able to apply.
Well, right.
You put it into practice, what you're reading and learning.
Be the hands and feet of Jesus. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do what you've learned.
That's right. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. Karen, what else would you like to share? And what is bringing you the most hope right now in your life? Of all these things we've talked about, just anything that you would like to share that's bringing you the most hope in your life. We call this program Hope Talks. So we like to find out what's bringing people hope in their lives.
Let me see, the most hope. Well, I'm feeling very comfortable and at peace right now. both spiritually and politically, and just where I am in my life. I am thoroughly enjoying our new pastor, and I enjoy his talks. And I have to say, he stepped on my toes a few times, and I appreciate that. I'm always taking notes and go back and review the notes and look up the passages in the Bible. And I'm very hopeful for the future of our church. Not that I wasn't hopeful. I was, but I see a resurgence of enthusiasm, and I'm feeling enthusiastic. So I think that's probably where I am right now.
It is. We are seeing, like, for such a time as this, God has brought Pastor Kevin, and he's definitely stepped on some toes around this table, mine for sure. And, you know, if we come to church and we go, well, I don't need to do any work, well, you know, we better take a really hard look at ourselves, because we won't be like Jesus until we're glory, like Jesus. So. And so it is a work the rest of our life, and we don't arrive here. And just to have someone to come and really challenge us.
Yeah, I think that's good. Challenge, I think that's good. I think we need to challenge one another, the people that we interact with. I have a wonderful network of friends, just a great group of friends that I enjoy doing things with and spending time with. And we are all at different levels in our faith walk, but we challenge one another. And we talk about our challenges and where we feel like we're falling down and where we need to be. And that's a good thing.
I don't think that we can build trust and depth in relationships if we keep things surface.
Exactly.
And what's, like, if we want to grow as a person and as a believer, we have to have people in our life that do challenge us.
Exactly.
You know, we can only be better for that.
That's right. Of course, we spoke earlier about Jim, my husband that has passed away. He was a very big influence in my faith walk. Mm-hmm. He was older than me, and he was a very mature Christian. It came with some baggage, like we all do, but we worked on the baggage. And he just really led me in the right direction to continue and to grow. And I will always be grateful for that. Mm-hmm. Very grateful.
Yeah. He seemed like such a gentleman.
He was a gentleman.
I want to say a gentle giant.
Yeah, he was kind of big.
He was a tall guy.
Yeah, he was.
But yeah, I can see. Yeah. It's beautiful. Beautiful testimony.
Yeah. Anything else that we haven't asked you already or that you haven't shared already that you'd like to share in closing today?
I do appreciate this opportunity. I was a little nervous about it, but I guess Margaret knows that I like to talk, so that's okay.
Absolutely.
I think it's wonderful that you give people this opportunity. I don't listen every week, but I do listen frequently, and I've enjoyed the ones that I've listened to.
Yeah. Well, we're grateful for you coming out and sharing. Like, I just think the power of having someone in your life that, although your life was hard, you have a testimony of, as a young child, losing your father, and God brought people into your life that could shepherd you and guide you. And then just to see how you do that for others.
I try.
And you've given your life to it. It's not just like I attend a Bible study or you are attending. You are like the fabric of your community. Yeah. You're in the fabric of your community in ways that you can help in service through the Rotary, being in Bible study, helping those in need around you. So thank you for just showing up in the place where you live and investing in that.
Thank you.
If we would all do that.
Right.
You're being a great role model.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Karen, thank you for joining us on today's broadcast of Hope Talks. It's been great to have you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. We pray that as you've heard Karen Costi's testimony today, that it truly has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.